John chapter 15, and we'll look at two verses. Now, in its context, Jesus is teaching about prayer. But notice what he said in verse 7, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." Now, it is the will of God that your prayer life be fruitful or productive. In other words, it is the will of God that your prayers get answered. Everybody say this with me. It's the will of God, that when I pray, my prayers produce results. That's the same thing as your prayers being answered. Are you with me? So often we think of prayer in a one-dimensional fashion. And that is, I ask God something and he gives me an answer. In other words, it's like asking a question of somebody. If I were to ask Brian a question, then he would answer that question. But that is not the singular dimension that prayer affects. You can pray for things that they will change. It's not a matter of receiving a simple yes or no answer, but you're praying to get results. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. He's not talking about receiving a yes or no, but getting things done. Amen. And so it is the will of God that when you pray, things get done. Now, the key to a productive prayer life is you abiding in Christ, and that should be a no-brainer for the Christian. Are you with me? Amen. That's who we are. We're of the household of faith. That's our family. That's who we identify with. You know, I identify with Jesus more than I do my relatives. Amen. Did you know that? I identify with Jesus more than I do a particular ethnic group. Amen. I identify with Jesus more than I do a particular political party. Amen. I identify with Jesus more than I identify with anybody else in life. Amen. Because that's who I'm a part of. I'm connected to him. We are of the household of faith. Now, once we understand that we are in Christ, then we have to make a conscious decision to allow his word to abide in us. See, you can be in Jesus and the word not be in you. I'll say that again. You can be in Jesus and the word not be in you. Amen. So not only do we need to abide in Christ, that's who we are, we're connected to the household of faith, but the word has to abide in us. Then Jesus said we would ask what we will and it would be done unto us. Amen. Then he made an astounding statement. For herein is my Father glorified. In other words, God gets glory when we bear much fruit. Amen. Or when we get results. Amen. Now, the word much here is a Greek word, polis, and it simply means abundant or great. So God wants you to have a fruitful, abundant, productive, great prayer life. Amen? Amen? And you don't have to pray like me or your brother or your sister to get that done. All you have to do is find out what God's word says and meditate upon that. Let that affect what you believe. And then you start praying according to the word. All right? But I'm not teaching about prayer today. Okay? Now, turn with me to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, and I'm going to show you how this principle can impact every area of your life. Paul the Apostle prayed that the church at Colossae would live in such a manner that they please God in everything they do, and that they bear fruit. Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." So we're going to talk about how to have a productive life. Now, how can you tell if somebody's life is fruitful, productive? You know? There again, don't make the mistake of judging something before it's time. And we'll see this as we get into this lesson. But what can be said about your life? And this is something we have to ask ourselves. What can be said about your life at the end of it? Will it be said of you, boy, that guy was fruitful, or boy, that woman was productive? Or will it be said of you, you know, he was related to so-and-so. You know, he lived at such and such an address. You know, he had a nice car. You know, they dress nice. Are you with me? I read after a man who, and it was said he never said a cross word about anybody. And he happened to go to the funeral of a fella who just hated God, hated him, and gave him so much trouble. And so he went to the viewing, and people were standing by and wanted to know what this man was going to say. And he said to the other fellow, he said, well, he did have nice teeth. Think about it. The Bible says, let us consider the number of our days, you know. And I'm not trying to be morbid in this line of thinking, but I want you to think long term. Not only how will you be remembered, but how effective will your life be? Now, that does not mean you have to own a company, be a CEO, be a champion. You know what I mean? But it does mean that whatever you do in life, whoever you are in life, God wants you to be fruitful, productive. He wants you to bear a lot of fruit. Are you with me? And I, you know, I often talk about my family. I think of my grandfather. My grandfather was a simple man, retired coal miner. Deacon in his Baptist church for over 50 years. Married to my grandmother, I think, for 68 years. Had 6 children. Lived in a little coal mining town. Not many people know who he was. But I tell you, my grandfather was a very productive, fruitful man. And he didn't know some of this. Are you with me? But he is long remembered, not just because of where he lived and what he did, but the fruit that was produced because of his life. And that is seen many times in your children. That is seen in the work that you've done and how it impacts others. That's the main thing. Are you with me? I quit identifying people years ago by what they do. You ever done that? I used to introduce people like that. People that I knew, I'd introduce them to people that I also knew, but they weren't acquainted with each other. And I would say things like this, oh, I want you to meet Cheryl. She works for SafeNet. You with me? Or I want you to meet Brother Victor. He's retired from the state. That's how I used to introduce people. And the last time I did that, the Holy Spirit arrested me and said, don't do that anymore. Don't identify people by what they do. Because what they do is not who they are. You can work for SafeNet, the state, be retired, be a homemaker. That's what you do, but that's not who you are. And who you are is determined by what God has placed in you by the Holy Spirit. His grace, His gifts, His treasures. And so I'm more concerned with who you are and developing who you are, not what you do. Are you with me? Now, many times, who you are will determine what you do, but that's not always the case. All right? We're on the same page, right? Amen. Amen. Notice Genesis chapter 8. Let me show you a principle that we're going to talk about for the rest of this session today. Genesis chapter 8. Remember, it's the will of God that we be fruitful. Jesus said that God is glorified when we bear much fruit. Well, how does fruit produce? There's a principle that works in the earth and in the kingdom that'll show you how fruit produces. Notice Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Notice what it says. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, we all live on the earth. Would you agree with that? Amen. Seed time and harvest is a principle that governs the way things produce on the earth. And you might say, and I've encountered people on occasion who said, well, I don't believe in that seed faith and seed time stuff. Well, whether you believe it or not has no bearing on the fact that it still works. Amen. That's like getting up in the morning and saying, I don't believe it's going to get dark tonight. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Nighttime's coming. You know, last week we had a string of days in the 90-degree range. And could you imagine somebody saying, well, I don't believe it'll ever snow again. Well, hang around and watch. It's coming. It may not feel like it now. It may not seem like it now. But trust me, it's coming. That's the way the earth is set up. And just because you don't believe it doesn't stop a thing. You can be as ignorant as you want to be. It won't stop day and night, summer and winter, hot and cold, and it won't stop seed time and harvest. Amen. Seed time and harvest will continue whether you believe in it or not. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, turn with me in the New Testament to Mark chapter 4. As long as the earth remains, the principle of seed time and harvest will continue to work. Turn to Mark chapter 4. And let's see what Jesus said about the principle of seed time and harvest. Mark chapter 4, let's begin with verse 26. Mark 4, 26. Notice what it says. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up. Notice this. He knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now Jesus said you can compare the whole kingdom of God to this principle of seed time and harvest. Now, he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, here's what I want you to see, and hopefully you can understand this. In order for you to live a fruitful, productive life, you must do something.
Amen.
You must do something. Jesus, in explaining this parable of how the kingdom of God operates, said this, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, I find that to be an awesome principle. And I find this principle all throughout the ministry of Jesus and the New Testament. Even when miracles take place, many times, most of the time, somebody has to do something. Say that with me, do something.
Do something.
In other words, they don't happen on their own. I don't know where this concept came from in Christian circles that, well, God's just going to do something miraculous. I'm just waiting on the Lord, waiting for God to do something. Are you with me? But that doesn't happen in the Scripture. I mean, even the first miracle that Jesus performed, do you remember where it was? Anybody remember? Wedding Feast of Cana, right? And what happened? All the wine was gone. And Jesus' mother said to Jesus, hey, Jesus, they're out of wine. And Jesus responded to her. Now, there again, if you read it in the King James New Testament, it almost looks as though Jesus is being rude to his mother. Trust me, he was not. If you read it in the King James New Testament, it says, woman, what have I to do with thee? If I said that to my mother, I'd get slapped. I did get slapped once, but I didn't say that. I said something else to my mother. I caught a right hand. I never saw it coming. Pow! Now, if I'd said something like that to my mama, woman, what have I to do with thee? Boy, I'd get lit up. Maybe not now. Mom's a lot older and a little more reserved, you know, than she used to be. She might want to slap me, but I don't think she would. But trust me, he was not being rude to his mother. It's just it gets all lost in the translation. What Jesus literally said to Mary, his mother, was, Mom, leave me alone. God hadn't said anything to me.
Amen.
Are you with me? It's not my time. You know, it's not time for me to do anything. And then Mary had enough sense to say this to the servants at that wedding feast. Whatever he says to you, do it. As I said, somebody has to do something. And then Jesus said to those servants, he probably called them aside and said, I want you to fill the water pots with water. Now, they knew they were looking for wine, but they did what Jesus said. Here's a key for your life if you want to live a fruitful, productive life. Take the words of Mary to heart. Whatever he says to you, do it. And see, there are times that you sit in a service like this, or you're meditating in the scripture by yourself, or you could be driving down the road in your car. Or you could be sitting in front of the television watching a baseball game, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Now, so often in our modern culture, we take that rhema word from God and we set it aside. That's a mistake. Whatever he says to you, do it. And that seed will produce in your life. Many times we don't produce, many times we're not being fruitful because the word of the Lord has come to us about situation, circumstance, whatever it is, and we ignore it. I've been there. You don't have to admit it, but I'll admit it. I've been there.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I often tell the story about the Lord leading me to come back to Pennsylvania. I ain't won't do it. I said, Lord, you know, hey, I like it here in Missouri. The weather's nice. You know, I've got a good job. You know, things are going great and working in a thriving ministry. And so what I decided to do was, I know it doesn't pay to disobey God. I just sort of drug my feet. Amen. You know what I mean? Just take my good old time getting there. Until one day I almost had a horrible car accident. And I never will forget, when I'm fighting that steering wheel of that car to maintain control of that car, out of my mouth comes these words, Lord, I'll go. I figured if I'm gonna crash here, I better get everything right.
Amen.
And thank God, the Holy Spirit protected me. I never crashed that car. Startled the daylights out of me. But it was my fault, really. But I realized, you know what? I haven't done what he told me to do. That's bad English, but you know what I mean. I have not done what he told me to do. And so this is a key to being fruitful and productive. Whatever he says to you, do it. Jesus said you can compare the kingdom of God to this. A man, somebody, a woman, somebody has to do something. Plant seed in the ground. Now, that seed begins to grow, begins to produce. And notice what he said. He knoweth not how. In other words, the guy who puts the seed in the ground does not understand all of the biology that goes into how a seed grows and produces.
Amen.
He doesn't understand it. All he knows is, if I put the seed in the ground, take care of it, I'm going to have some corn. Are you with me? And all too often, we try to get mentally involved with what God's doing in our lives. We try to figure it all out. You ever been there?
Amen.
Well, Lord, I know you want me to do this, but let's see, how are you going to do that? You're probably going to do it this way. Yeah? You don't have to understand how God gets it done. Just do what he told you to do. Y'all with me?
Amen.
We want to know every little detail. We want to know every little turn and twist along the way. Well, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And so what God does is order you one step at a time. And we're trying to figure out step 15. We haven't done step 2 yet. Are you with me? So if you take step number 2, he'll tell you where step number 3 should go. When you do step number 3, then here comes step number 4. Are you with me? But don't try to figure it all out. You'll never understand it. Now, let me show you how this works. There came a time when Peter came to Jesus, and he was frantic. You ever been frantic? And he says to Jesus, Master, what are we going to do? It's time to pay the taxes, and we don't have any money. And Jesus said to Peter, go fishing, and the first fish you catch, open his mouth, and you'll find enough money to pay your taxes and mine. Now, Jules, I don't care what kind of degree you got. That don't make no sense. Are you with me?
Amen.
That's crazy. Fish don't carry around tax money in their mouth. But if Jesus said go fishing, you better get you a hook and you better go get a net.
Hallelujah.
And see, that's a problem with too many people. The Lord says something and you think, well, that don't make no sense. That's crazy. You know, that makes no sense to me. You'll miss out.
Amen.
You know, you'll be selling your stuff to pay your taxes. Instead of, if you'd have done what Jesus said, all you had to do was... Now, the nice thing about it is, Jesus said, the first fish will have your tax money in it. That means there's got to be a second, third, fourth, fifth. Now, he didn't say there'd be any money in their mouths, but you may as well get the fish while you're at it. Are you with me? And so Peter did what Jesus said. And there was the provision that he needed. And so we have to get involved. Whatever he says to you, do it. Even when miracles take place, somebody's got to do something.
Amen.
Amen? Somebody has to do something. We talked not long ago about the 10 lepers. Remember that? And the scripture says, as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. In other words, go get your physical. You're healed. Now, they could have stood there and argued with him. Are you with me? I don't feel any better. I don't look any better. Jesus, you need to come over here, spit on me, do something. Anoint me with oil. No, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Go get your physical. As they went, they were cleansed. There's something about doing what Jesus says that brings the miraculous to bear on your situation. Amen? So Jesus said the whole kingdom of God can be compared to this symbol, this principle, that is, that a man takes a seed, puts it in the ground, then he gets ready for the harvest. Because the earth is set up so that whenever you plant a seed, it's going to produce. You don't have to understand all the details or exactly how it works. All you have to know is, at a certain time period, I'm going to have a bunch of corn on my hands. I need to be ready for it. Are you with me? And so there's that expectation that we can have that the things that we do to produce fruit will pay off. Are you with me? It will pay off. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're talking about seed time and harvest. And it is so critical that we not only understand this principle, but that we have the tools to carry it out in our lives. Hallelujah. All right, John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and look at verse 23. Notice what Jesus said. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Notice what he said in the next verse. He that loves his life shall lose it,
yes, yes, yes.
And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And then he went on to say, my soul is troubled, because he knew what he was about to accomplish or fulfill. But I want you to see two things. Number one, Jesus compared his life to a seed. And he said, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone and it will produce nothing. And so in a certain sense, in our lives, there are certain things that we have to do. We have to make choices that may not be pleasant. Are you with me? But the fruit that is born is so much more than what we would have by not planting the seed. Can you see that? Jesus realized he had to pour out his life. And the harvest that he received was you and me and every other member of the body of Christ that's been born again for the last 2,000 plus years. Amen?
Amen.
And I like what John said in the book of Revelation. He said, I looked and beheld and I saw a group of people that no man can number out of every tribe and tongue and family and ethnos.
Amen.
And they were all standing before the throne worshiping God.
Amen.
That is the fruit that Jesus saw that enabled him to die,
Amen.
To become that seed that was planted. So Jesus compared himself to a seed. Let's look at another example of this principle. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Talking about seed time and harvest. Matthew 17. Notice verse 20. Well, let me give it out of Luke. There's a young man from Pastor Jones' church who's been involved in these Sunrise Outreach missions, Luke Danowski.
Wow.
And what a tremendous blessing he is. But whenever I hear the word Luke, now, I always revert to this. Years ago when Star Wars came out, I'm one of those knuckleheads who saw it too many times. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you how many times I've seen the movie, but I saw it far too many times than I should have. And so whenever I think of Luke, I always hear Alec Guinness, who played Obi-Wan Kenobi, saying, Luke, Luke. Remember that? Use the Force, Luke, you know? So I was teasing Luke Danowski yesterday. Luke, are you with me? But notice Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And here's a situation where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. They encountered a man who had a young boy who was oppressed by an evil spirit and just doing all kind of crazy stuff, and they couldn't help him. But notice verse 20. They came to Jesus apart and said, Jesus, why could not we cast this demon out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So here again we see this principle of seed time and harvest, only now Jesus is comparing faith as a seed. And we've seen in several other passages that it doesn't take a lot of faith to get results.
Man.
All it takes is using the faith that you have and planting it. If you'll plant your faith, it will produce. You don't have to understand all the ins and outs and all the mechanics and how it works. All you have to do is put it to work. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, when I was a kid, we used to have science projects from school. And one of them was to grow beans. Y'all ever do that? Put beans in a cup, put them on the windowsill?
Amen.
Well, a bean is a very good example of how photosynthesis takes place and how plants grow. And it's just amazing as a young kid to watch these things grow. Well, you don't have to understand all the mechanics of how beans grow. All you got to know is if you got dirt, you got a bean, and you got some water, do something with it.
Amen.
Are you with me? Well, here we are, born again, spirit-filled, children of God. We've been given the word. We've been given faith. If you want to get results, do something with it. And Jesus told us how to plant our faith. If you had faith as a seed, you'd open your mouth and say something. Are y'all with me? You would say unto this sycamine tree, mountain. Jesus used a myriad of examples. And Jesus said, literally, it would obey you. But we have to plant the seed. If we don't plant it, nothing will grow.
Amen.
Are you with me? And so the principle of seed time and harvest not only dictates the way things happen on the earth, but also dictate the way things produce in the kingdom of God. So if we want to be fruitful, if we want to be productive, we've got to understand these principles and how they work. Are you with me? Now, here's my mindset as a pastor, if you will. My mindset as a pastor is not, what can I get from you? Y'all with me? Now, I know a lot of ministers, that is their mindset. What can I get from this person? That's not my mindset. That's why I do things a little bit differently than other folk. My mindset is, what can I put into you that'll cause you to produce and to be fruitful? As I said before, that's why I do things a little bit differently. Are you with me? I'm not trying to get anything out of you. I'm trying to put something in you. That's why we have our men's fellowship. There's no offerings taken. I'm not looking to get anything out of the guys. I want to pour something into them. That's why we give them free books. As long as you read it. Amen. If you're not going to read it, let me keep it. I'll give it to somebody who will. What can I put into you that'll cause your life, your family, your marriage to produce fruit and make you a better person? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That's the way Jesus did things. He didn't approach people with the attitude, what can I get from this guy? You see what I mean? I mean, he had very wealthy people, tax collectors. And he'd tell them, I need to come to your house. And he'd show up, didn't ask for a dime, started talking to them about the kingdom of God. Are you with me? One time he was in the house of a Pharisee. And I'm sure the man wasn't broke. And a woman came in, broke open an alabaster box of fine ointment, about a year's worth of wages, and started anointing him with that spice, and then wiping him with her hair. And this Pharisee, who was probably pretty well off, sat across the table and thought, if he really was a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman this is hanging around his feet. Jesus perceived his thoughts and said, you know what? When I came to your home, you didn't offer anything to wash my feet. But this woman, who you consider to be a sinner, has poured about a year's worth of wages on me. And I'm not going to take that from her. But see, his intent was not to get anything. Are you with me? His intent was to minister to this Pharisee and change his life. And he said, though her sins are many, they shall be forgiven. And you think your sins are little? That's why you won't be forgiven much. Are you with me? And so Jesus' approach was never, what can I get from somebody? Now, you want to live a fruitful, productive life? Have that kind of attitude in your heart. How can I serve? How can I be a blessing? How can I minister to people? How can I help them? Not what can I get from them. We need to get out of that attitude. What can I get from this guy? Who cares? Are you with me? I had a very wealthy man say this to me about 15 years ago. He said, you know what I like about you? I said, what's that? I didn't know what he was going to say. He said, I know if I gave you $1 million and came back a year from now, I'd still have $1 million. You know what I said to him? I said, hopefully you have a little bit more than $1 million. Are you with me? But what he said to me was, I trust you. I know you won't steal from me. Well, how can you have that kind of attitude in life? Because God is your source. You trust in Him. Are you with me? And if you'll allow Him to cause you to be fruitful in life, He'll always be there to meet your needs. He'll always be there to meet your needs. But we got to get away from this mindset. What can I get from this person? When our mindset should be, what can I pour into them? What can I give them? How can I bless them? And it may not be financially. Sometimes it will be financially. But what can I do to help them, to assist them? Many times my wife and I have been sitting in church services and the Lord's spoken to me, I want you to give so-and-so X amount of dollars. I've always obeyed. Always done, whether it was 10 or 300. Amen. Whether it was 1,000. Are you with me? Now, if it's more than 10 bucks, even the 10 bucks, make sure you talk to your wife first. Are you with me? I'd always say, hon, I think the Lord wants us to do something. What's that? I believe He wants us to do X. And she'd say, yeah, that's God. Do it. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. See, we don't make major financial decisions without consulting with each other. That's a good way to get into hot water. Yeah. Anyway, that's another sermon. Let's look at one more passage of Scripture. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Everybody say seed time.
Seed time.
And harvest. It is a principle that governs. Amen. Now, I often refer to the principle of seed time and harvest as a law. What do I mean when I say law? You won't go down to the courthouse and find it on the books. It's not codified. But it is a principle that governs the way things work in the earth, and it's a principle that governs the way things work in the kingdom of God. Gravity is a law. You won't find it on the books at the courthouse. And you might disagree with gravity, but it still dictates the way you live on the earth. And you might think, like the old, what was it, R. Kelly? Who wrote that song, I Believe I Could Fly? Was it R. Kelly? Yeah, okay. Anyway, you might believe you can fly, but gravity still has an impact on your life. Amen? Unless you apply some other principles that overcome gravity. Amen? Everybody smiled when I said R. Kelly. How come was that? The guy could write some songs. Used to. Come on now, let's have some fun. Now he's hanging out in the closet. That's all right. Let's pray for R. Kelly, would you? Amen. R. Kelly needs to be delivered and saved. That's what he needs. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice verse 6. Paul the Apostle, writing to the Gentile church at Corinth, said this, "But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Now, listen to that sentence again. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. In other words, God is able to minister grace to you so that you find yourself in a situation where you always have enough. You can always minister to every need. And you can always give to every good work, but it's up to you. Are you with me? Notice the next verse. "As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply," say multiply, "multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched," excuse me, "in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God." Now, it is just a fact, because of the principle of seed time and harvest, whenever you plant a seed, that seed multiplies. Nobody plants one grain of corn and harvests one grain of corn. Are you with me? If that's all you get from planting one grain of corn, something wrong with the system. But when you plant one grain of corn, you get multiplied grains of corn back. That's just the way it works. And so, not only do we see Jesus compared to his seed, not only do we see faith compared to a seed, but we see money compared to a seed. Now here Paul, in his context, is talking about raising an offering for the churches at Macedonia. And he simply said this, if you give sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Whatever a man purposes in his heart, so let him give. So he's simply letting them and us know, it's up to you. You want a little harvest? Plant a little seed. That's fine. That's just the way it works. You want a big harvest? Plant a big seed. Now, that was not invented by some televangelist on TBN. Y'all with me? Don't leave yet. I'm not done. Okay. Paul the Apostle wrote this over 2,000 years ago. And he knew the heart of these people. Now, the amazing thing was, he always provoked people in their giving, but it wasn't for him. It was always for somebody else. Can you see that? There again, that follows along with that principle that I shared a little bit ago. Not what can I get from you, but how can I bless you? And so he's letting this church know, we need to help these people over here. But if you'll help them over here, plant that seed, God will bless it back to you. Multiply your seed sown. That's just the way the kingdom works. You might say, oh, Brother Young, I don't believe in that. That's fine. It still works whether you believe in it or not. Amen. Well, I don't agree with that. I think that's false doctrine. Believe and think what you want. It still works. Amen? Amen? Whole kingdom of God operates that way. Now, I'll close with this. I'm so thankful for you folks at MGCC because you have allowed us to thrive, to succeed, and to prosper. I had a minister, a bishop, call me not long ago. I've known this man for, excuse me, many, many years. And I had the longest conversation with him that I ever had in my life. And you know what it centered on? Money. How can we get our finances in order? How can we be effective in meeting our needs? And you know what I bragged about? You guys. I bragged about your giving to missions. I bragged about the fact that we partner with Pastor Martin and those five churches in Africa. I brag about the fact that every month we send them a check. Amen? You guys make it happen because you see the value in sharing the gospel with others who may not be able to do everything that we can do. And so I started bragging on you guys. I said, every month we send a check to this church. And what we do is when you guys designate on your offering envelope, missions, we take all that money, add it up at the end of the month, and then we add more money to it. And we divide it up between Pastor Martin and the churches in Africa and Patricia Bailey Jones. Amen. But there's one thing the Lord shared with me that is so comforting. He said, if you'll obey me with finances, you'll never lack for a thing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And as a church, we don't lack for a thing.
Amen.
We don't lack for a thing. And so this bishop was sharing with me, and he said, well, how do you do this? I told him. How do you do that? I told him. And then he finally said, he got up enough nerve to ask me this question. Well, what do you do about anniversaries? I said, that's simple. We don't have them. Don't need them. Are you with me?
Amen.
Because God supplies our needs.
Amen.
But it's because we realize the principle of seed time and harvest.
Amen.
Now, this was going to be a one-shot message, but I'm not going to drag it out. So we'll finish this next week. Is that all right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Seed time and harvest. It's a principle that governs not only the way things work on the earth, but in the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, would you stand with me, please?